We got a late ass renewal. Oh, it's hardly new. You gonna hate us, but who made us share with you this late ass review?
Late ass, late ass, late ass, late ass review.
That was the chair.
Yes, that was the chair. It was not anyone in the room or anyone here. That was the noise that was made. It was from a chair, right?
Yes.
Thanks. Okay, it's at the end of the song. You may not remember it, but that was the chair when he makes that noise. There's a noise that he scoots the chair, and there's a fart noise in the song.
Yes.
And he goes, "That was the chair." It's after late ass review. Do-do-do-do-do. That was the chair. Do you know what I'm talking about in our theme songs? Do you know our theme songs? You don't listen to our show. God damn it, Armando. Mike Simmer here, joined with Armando Aranda, Team Awesome Inc. What the fuck is up with your shiz and your biz? Follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc. Like that Facebook page. And of course, download and subscribe for free on iTunes as well as Podomatic. That website is yotina.podomatic.com. Again, that's
yotina.podomatic.com.
We tried to make that as clear as possible. We hope you could hear it. Also, check us out on the YouTubes. Why don't you, hey, now? Sorry.
Mosey on
over to them YouTubes. And check out Simmer Mike. That's right. Simmer Mike, all caps, all capitals. Like we're yelling at you. Simmer Mike now.
No space.
No space. And don't say now at the end. It won't work. Just go into YouTube. You'll find it. You'll see all our trailer reactions, bullshit, and not bullshit. It's good stuff. It's great stuff. Fuck.
They know.
They know how good it is.
They
know how fucking bad it is. And joined with Armando.
Hello.
Very excited about this review. Guys, okay, so if you go to Simmer Mike, you can check out our first initial reactions to Spider-Man Homecoming. Where we, as soon as we saw it, we basically recorded right afterwards and just talked about and gushed about it for, I'd say, about a good 5-6 minutes. So you can check that video out where we just left the theater and just, like, recorded the review. And it was a great experience. But now that we've had time to sort of sit and think about it for a while,
contemplate, meditate
this film and what it's done for not only Spider-Man, which it's done tremendous fucking work with. Are you kidding me? Jesus. It's also done a lot with the Avengers and Marvel as well. It's sort of an extension, but its own thing too. It's weird. Like, he's in that world, but he's doing, like, that world is like, yeah, but you're a kid. And he's like, yeah, I know I'm a kid, but I'm still badass. And like, yeah, but you're still a kid. And he's like, yeah, I know, but fuck, what do I do? And they're like, well, just don't get killed, man. Like, just try not to do dumb shit. And he's like, I don't know how to not do dumb shit. I'm super powered, but I don't get it. And Iron Man's like a dad, but he keeps leaving me alone. Fuck. So he's all kinds of, like, screwed from the get-go, and he can't tell his Aunt May, and, you know, there's that whole thing.
Right.
But we'll get into major spoilers later. Can I just say that, Tom Holland is, wow. I mean, if Civil War didn't sell you on his performance as Spider-Man, this fucking movie, I mean, wow, he's such an aw shucks kind of, just trying to do the right thing, you know, but man, everyone's in my way, like. He's just a kid. Like, he's just a teenager,
he's
man.
A good kid.
He's just a good kid. That's all. He's just trying to live his life, that Peter Parker, or Penis Parker, as they call him, which I found that hilarious. what I found was really even better, and I know we talk a lot about whitewashing in Hollywood and how we think it's fucking bullshit. Here's the thing. This was a cast of characters that surrounded a central, like the hero was a white guy lead, but everybody else, except Michael Keaton, who was the bad guy, who was the main guy, they had different ethnicities. I mean, Spider-Man's best friend was like a chubby Samoan kid.
Right, right.
Or not Samoan.
Or Filipino.
Asian, sorry. I mean, that's what I mean to assume, but he was chubby either way.
Yeah, well.
Oh, now the fat community's going to get mad at me.
Portly.
Don't call him the fat community.
Portly.
No, his friend, his buddy, whatever his descent may be, who happens to be overweight, goddamn, can't talk freely in fucking free country. God damn it.
U.S. of A.
Fucking First Amendment right. It's our First Amendment right. We have the first 10 amendments are the Bill of Rights, and the first is this fucking First Amendment is the freedom of speech. Why do I feel like I can't talk? Damn it. Let me speak my mind, for fuck's sake. He's a fat Samoan kid. That's what he looked like.
Wow.
He could be Filipino, but he was fat. And I'm sorry. It's not my fault that he's fat. That made him endearing to me. I enjoyed that he was kind of like chubby and kind of uncoordinated. Yeah. That's kind of made him more of a character, you know?
And that's
and Peter's like really apt at this, but like the chubby fat friend was actually really good at helping him like get around. He was like, he was kind of like his backup.
And
his
he's a real guy. He's a real guy.
He's
they feel real. Yeah,
like,
they feel real. They feel like real New York kids.
Yes, thank you. Okay, Armando, you grew up, you're born and raised Brooklyn, New York, right?
Public school.
All right. Other than Tom Holland, everyone else in that cast is pretty much what it's like in that area. Right?
Yes.
Like as far as we're talking ethnicity, we're talking casting, we're talking like everyone in that high school, everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Down to Hannibal Buress as the gym teacher,
which
was great. Comedian Hannibal Buress was in it.
But it's
fucking
good.
Love him.
It's good, but yeah, it's like smart kids, you know, but
yes.
It's a smart kid school.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like, it was like they were realistic about it. It's
yeah,
like,
there are realistic smart kids in New York.
Yeah, like, duh. And they're not all white. Sorry.
Right.
I mean, like, goddamn, man.
There's
like,
a lot of smart kids that are not white.
There's a lot of people. Anyway, yeah. But you know, regardless of that,
great job.
We're saying that's a good thing. They did the right thing by casting it appropriately and casting, I think, appropriately. I felt it was and I loved the fucking diversity of it. And they're creating new stars. Mary Jane now is they changed it. Her name's Michelle.
Right.
It's not, and she goes by MJ.
Right.
And she's this like punk kid, like troublemaker, outsider, and you can tell that her and Peter might have a thing later on. It's like a Harry Potter kind of situation. It's like if this is Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh my God!
Then what's the next
movies?
One? Well, what's the, no? We're good. Well, 4 years in high school, right? So So Homecoming. Then what? Sophomore's dance, or I don't know, Winter Solstice, Spider-Man Winter Solstice, Spider-Man Prom. Prom would have to be the last one. That would probably be the last. Or Graduation. Probably Spider-Man Graduation would be the last one.
Graduation.
Prom would be like the fun one. It'd be the throwaway. Like, hey, we're just having fun with this one.
Yeah. It's a tribute to all the other ones.
Yeah, why not? This is for fun. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Just for
shits and giggles. Guardians of the Galaxy. Have fun, kids. That's pretty much all. I mean, by the way, Guardians is great, but this was a Sony movie in collaboration with Marvel. Interesting. Yes. Sony made bank. They foot the bill, man. They foot the bill to make it, and Marvel just like helped them make it. So they made all that. They're counting their money. Meanwhile, motherfucking Universal Studios is sitting on the rights to the Hulk and not working with Marvel and not counting those dollar bills. I'm like, you fucking idiots.
In my opinion, you're sitting...
Universal, that's fucking stupid.
You're sitting on a gold mine. You're like
Look what Sony did.
You're keeping the door shut on the gold mine.
Jesus Christ, you're sitting on the rights for the Hulk. You're hoping to get you're hoping to get Ruffalo to do it? Ruffalo just came out at, what was it, Comic-Con? Or I think it was D23 or some shit. And he said, look, the reason why we can't make a Hulk movie is because they're sitting on the rights at Universal. And if they just would have done what Sony did with Marvel and had Spider-Man work, then we could do a solo and I could go off and do a solo Hulk movie. But unfortunately, I have to be Hulk in Thor Ragnarok. I have to be Hulk in the Avengers. And a lot of people say he works better that way. But as you'll see in our trailer reaction to Thor Ragnarok, our trailer number 2 reaction, we love Hulk talk. Hulk talk good. We like Hulk talk, yes.
Hulk talk.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was like, that's how he does it in the comics.
As a talk show.
Hulk talks in the comics. Yes, he does. Hulk talks in the comics.
Yeah,
he has conversations with people, but Hulk not good with conversation. He able to converse, but brain not so good. Anger, rage, like, you know, that's his thing, you know. But he's still able to communicate because Bruce Banner is still inside of him trying to get out. It's like he's trying to control the Hulk in a way, like he's trying to communicate with him. It's a weird thing. I know we're talking about the Hulk a lot in the Spider-Man review, but the reason why is because Sony made a really good call, and they fucking split the bill here, I think, right? I mean, Marvel made money. They had RDJ show up as Iron Man. They had Captain America. Chris Evans was in it. And the best cameo, I think, was him being like, well, hey there, you're in detention, huh? When Peter was sent in detention. So Spider-Man's in detention. And fucking, they have these like educational videos that Captain America did.
Oh,
like, you know,
God.
Like he would. It's like he's Captain America. He's a publicity guy, you know? It's like, hey, that's what he did back in the day. So they kind of continue that on, and Peter's in high school, and they have these educational videos.
The guy's probably a war criminal right now.
Well, kids, you know, gym education is important, you know? And you're just like, yeah, this guy's probably, and Hannibal Burr's like, this guy's probably a war criminal, but he's right. You should listen to what he says. After fucking Civil War. Moving along. God, what else did we enjoy? I mean, God, I can't gush enough about how well they did this. I don't want to be this big old, like, let's just suck the fucking Marvel dick again. But God damn, they keep doing good movies. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So good. Spider-Man Homecoming. Fuck.
Yes.
And now we got, what's the next one? Infinity Wars? Is that the next? I don't even know what's next. I don't even care. Just put it out. I'll go. Yeah. They are wait, no, that's not true. Iron Man 2 and 3 were kind of shit. Let's admit it. Can we admit that? Iron Man made an appearance in this one, but let's admit it. Iron Man 2 and 3 were kind of shit. First one was awesome.
2 is okay.
2 is okay. I'll concur. 2 is okay, but 3, fucking horse shit. They ruined the Mandarin. How do you ruin the Mandarin? That's Iron Man's main bad guy. How do you fuck that up? Ben Kingsley? You had Ben Kingsley. And bait and switch. It's really Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
Fuck off with the Mandarin. Quit trying to be clever.
I guess they're trying
You're not
to
fooling
say,
anyone, dick.
I guess they're trying to say something with that.
What are you
that.
Trying to say with that? It's like, oh, the Mandarin, I just made him up. It's like, what? No, you didn't. He's
well,
been around.
Do you think maybe some people make some threats up, you know?
Probably. I don't blow dude, them up I don't care. He's a real character from the comics, and he's like one of Iron Man's central villains, and
well,
they
yeah,
totally
yeah.
fucked that up.
I'm not saying that's what they should have done.
They really could have had a three-plot structure with that, with the Mandarin at the end. Ben Kingsley comes in. It's like, I am the one, you know, kind of like in fucking, what was it, the latest James Bond movie, where he comes out, and he's like, hello, James. I am the one who is the creator, Christoph Waltz. And I am the one who is responsible for all of your pain ever since you, Daniel Craig, James Bond, has been James Bond. Not the other ones, just you. And the other ones exist. They are you, but they're not you. But we're not going to talk about that. We're talking about now. And you are going to jail, James Bond. God, we're talking about every other movie but Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, why? Yeah, let's get into it.
I mean, because we're scared of spoiling it for people. I think that's why. We should just go right into it. I think everyone's seen it. Everyone's seen it. Let's fucking talk
warning.
About it.
Warning.
Spoiler alert. All right. I guess plot-wise, why don't you start? Okay, you take the reins on this one.
It's so amazing. Like
it opens with a vlog.
It opens with a vlog. The Spider-Man in Civil War. With him stealing Cap's shield. Oh, and also him just getting chauffeured around by Iron Man's guy.
Happy Hogan, yeah.
Yes, Happy Hogan.
Happy Hogan. John Favreau is a big part in this movie.
Right. Keeping an eye on the kid.
Absolutely.
Taking him to hotel rooms.
And he's like, you can't record any of this. You know that, right? He's like, yeah, I know. It's just for me.
Yeah,
it's not. He's like, oh my God, you guys, look at all this shit I'm doing. He's totally being a kid about it. Like you would if you got to hang out with Iron Man and Captain America and all these guys. You would.
Oh, yeah. You'd be fucking psyched.
Are you kidding me? How could you not be psyched? You'd be like, fuck yeah. Speaking of fuck yeah moments, out of nowhere, I know this isn't plot related, but when Spider-Man's just hanging out in the city and he's just like, he's just on a rooftop in Queens or something. Out of nowhere, a guy just goes, hey, yo, Spider-Man. He's like, yeah, what? And he goes, do a flip. And he's like, what? Do a flip. He's like, okay. And he does a flip. He goes, yeah. The best moment for me in that movie was that guy was like, if I saw Spider-Man, I'd be like, do a flip. If you're Spider-Man, do a flip. Okay. Does a flip. Fuck yeah. Like, that's totally what you would do. Even if it was Batman, you'd be like, hey, Batman, just say it. I'm Batman. Yes. Yeah. Like, how could you not, you know? And we were kind of going through like all of them.
Yeah.
Hey, Green Lantern, make anything. Just make anything.
Make something.
Something. Anything. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Fuck yeah. You shouldn't be real. You defy physics. The first thing I'd ask Superman, I'd be like, hey, do the heat vision thing. Do it. Just melt something. Do it. The first thing I'd ask him, just melt something with your heat vision. Do it. I want to see it. I heard you can do it. Do it. Yeah.
I'd be like,
every time.
What's in my pocket?
No, I wouldn't want him to x-ray me. What if that fucking caused cancer?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you didn't think about that, did you?
What's in Mike's pocket?
No, fuck you, not my pocket. Fuck that, you're a dick. Looking out for me. How about what's in Normando's brain?
No!
Yeah, kill him. Kill him super. He's like conflicted. He's like, I just want to belong. I just want to be a part of mankind. Shut up, Kent. Shut up, Kent. Go back to the farm. We're talking shit about Superman. Back to Spider-Man Homecoming. Fantastic. I mean, the plot was just well executed. It felt like it was an extension of Civil War, and it felt like it was its own thing. We got to know who Peter Parker was. We got to know him as a kid, man. And it was more true to what I remember from the Spider-Man comics than anything I ever saw. Honestly, up to this point, I mean, Raimi got close. He was the closest up until Marvel got back to it, you know. But Raimi, when he did it, he opened up the door for a lot of other shit to happen, you know.
Right.
And the same thing with Singer and X-Men, you know. Chris Nolan was on record as saying that when he saw X-Men by Bryan Singer, that he was like, wow, I can do Batman this way. He's like, I pretty much had an idea to do Batman like that, or to do superheroes in a real world setting like that.
Right.
He's like, but now I see that it's possible and I can do Batman Begins, and I can make a normal person seem like a superhero, like instead of them being mutated or whatever. Like, that's the story he wanted to tell anyway, just like humanize these larger than life characters. And so, you know, that's what that Spider-Man Homecoming does that in spades, dude. Like, fuck, you are so there with him. Like, there's moments where he's crying and he's like, God, I can't do this. And you're like, oh yeah, I remember what it was like to be a kid and feel like, oh, I'm so scared and I don't have help, I gotta do this myself.
Yeah.
It's just shit like that, like where you're like, I was reliving like teenage years plus getting the whole hero's journey thing.
Right.
I was really digging Tom Holland, really dug his performance.
Well, okay, yeah. So I mean, as a New Yorker, yeah, there's not that many Tom Hollands.
No, like, there aren't. No, and as a non-New Yorker, as a transplant that lived out there for, 7-8 years, there aren't that many Tom Hollands. They're either guys like me from the Midwest or guys up from upstate, I think, or something like, yeah.
Right.
I mean, there's not a lot of guys who look like me there.
Right.
Who are from Queens or Brooklyn.
Not in the public schools.
No.
Not in the public schools up to high school, really.
Yeah, that's just how it is. I mean, there are, but they're random.
Yeah.
It's so random that it's like, yeah.
Yeah, I know. And it's unusual that, you know, somebody's that particularly white.
Very white. English white.
English
Tom Holland is
white.
From the UK. He's English white. That's the whitest you can get. Hello. Hello, Chim Chim Chiru. Spider-Man I am. Oh, get out of here, Stephen Merchant. You're not Spider-Man. Oh, I want to be Spider-Man. No, you're Caliban and you suck. You can only tell if other mutants are around. You're not even a fucking telepath. I want to be an X-Man. You're not allowed. Go back to your hole, Stephen Merchant. Wait for Ricky Gervais. Sorry.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's mean. Why are we so mean to Stephen Merchant? I love him. He's hilarious. Regardless, so we left off. Okay, but
yep,
here's the other thing, guys. Here's the other coin, the other side. So
yep.
You got your hero, right? Your hero's only as good as your villain. Can we talk about Michael Keaton now? Can we just get on Michael Keaton and just suck the Keaton cock for the rest of this review? Let's just suck the Keaton cock.
Yeah, okay.
Michael Keaton. Holy shit.
Right.
Always loved him. Loved him in Birdman. Birdman is Birdman. He's the Vulture. Holy shit. Talk about humanizing a villain.
Yeah.
I was so like, yeah,
Dude, this guy,
he's a construction worker.
He has a family.
He's got a family. He has loans and debt, and he's trying to take care of people. He's just trying to be a good guy. He's trying to help out his workers, his crew. He's just trying to like fucking make money and survive. And these fucking rich douchebags, like, he's like fucking Stark and all these guys, you know, they're not like us. They're not from the fucking streets. Like, they didn't have to fucking fight and build their way up.
Yeah,
and
think
build
about
their
it.
Own shit and do it themselves. They're fucking handed this shit.
Yeah.
Handed it.
Yeah,
and,
think about it. Yeah, are there?
Keaton, like,
are
everyone's like,
Tony
yeah,
Stark?
In the theater.
Yeah.
You as a villain, you're like, yeah, you know what? He's right. Like,
yeah,
even Spider-Man's like,
right.
You're right, but you can't fucking steal and you can't fucking break the law. It's like, you're right, but you can't break the law. There's other ways of doing it. And he had a good point. They both had good points.
Yeah.
It sucked. It was like you could really see the duality. And that's why I was so happy, and spoilers again, that they didn't fucking kill off the villain, or they didn't send him to crazy town and that he, without the potential of him coming back at all.
Right.
They set it up in a way that Vulture could easily come back and actually be a good guy.
Right.
Like, Vulture could actually be a fucking hero. He could actually save the day. He's a family man. He had, how many chances did he have at killing Spider-Man in the movie? And he didn't do it.
Right.
He had like two or three chances. He could have killed him.
Right.
He could have killed easily. And he was knocked out. He could have killed him. But he's like, he didn't care about him. He's like, I don't care about that guy. He's just in my way. I'm trying to get to that shit to take care of my family because I got a daughter and a wife and I got like guys that I've hired to work for me.
Right. And you got to put food on their plate. Yeah.
Just get out of my way. Let me fucking steal this shit, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just like, no, I can't. I got to stop you. And he's like, and then he finds out. Oh, yeah. Oh.
And he said,
yeah, go.
And he said, like, how did fucking Tony Stark make his money? He fucking made his money selling fucking arms.
Exactly. Tony Stark was an arms dealer, a weapons and arms dealer. And that's how he made his fortune. That's how his father made his fortune.
So he's, it's like, okay, how when do you think Stark, it's okay when money? He does it?
Yeah, it's okay when he does it, but when fucking Vulture does it, he's like, God damn it, you've got a good point, but you're still stealing and breaking the law doing it, you know?
Right.
Stark did it legally, I guess. But yeah. He still backed out after he fucking got, you know, he was almost like a prisoner of war, you know, he was a prisoner of war.
Right.
He was an independent contractor, but he was held captive, and that's how he created the, I mean, we're talking about a great origin story. I mean, my God, it was, first Iron Man was great. That, you know, you get that, right? So, same thing, it's like, he did it the legal way, and he was still a corrupt villain, in a sense. You looked at him in that first Iron Man movie, like, this guy's just a scumbag, he's a war profiteer, fuck him. And then he gets captured and he realizes it's his own weapons that's killing people. It's these people are dying because of his weapons and what he's doing and his family's been doing. And he instantly changes gears. He's like, no, fuck that. We're going to change it up. We're done doing that. And I'm going to go out and save the fucking day. He got so fucked up from it that he's like, I'm going to handle it myself. Damn, good on you, Iron Man. Like, we get it. You know, Vulture, same fucking thing. He's like, look, these guys keep screwing us over. They're not helping us. They're taking money out of our pockets. We got to take control. We got to do the right thing. And we got to take care of our families.
Right.
Fuck them.
Right.
We're going to do the right thing. We're going to do it our way.
Right.
And fuck those guys. And they go to Maine or Maryland. No, it was Maryland, wasn't it?
It was Maryland.
They went off. They had their secret base in Maryland. He's like, Maryland? Yeah, I remember just thinking how random. And yeah, Maryland. It was just, that's where he was. To me, that's just an odd place to it must have been cheap. Property values, you know?
Yeah.
Smart guy.
And it's like,
middle of nowhere.
Yeah, why the hell would you?
Smart guy, he's flying off anyway.
Why the hell would you stay in New York to do that?
Yeah, he's taking off and flying to other places to just go steal more shit anyway.
Right.
And all he's doing is stealing shit that's left over from the Avengers with the bad guys. Talk about a fucking genius. And then he makes the weapons and he sells the weapons too. So then all these bad guys have like all this alien technology. So that's where it's like, okay, but he's doing it at homeland. That's the problem. But Stark was doing it overseas.
Right.
What's worse, doing it at home or doing it overseas in someone else's country? There's no difference. You're still doing the same thing.
Right. They're human beings.
So they're all people, right? So it's just the difference. It was, God, I mean... So at the end of the day, you could see Keaton being like, all right, he's right. He's got a good point. And Spider-Man has a good point, too. They both have good points. But unfortunately, we can't let this guy keep going around doing this crazy shit. He's got to be regulated. He's got to, you know, maybe he can get help and maybe he can work with, you know, he's shown he's apt and capable of doing shit as the Vulture. Maybe they can call him in after battles and pick up some shit. Like, maybe they wouldn't expect after Thanos almost kills everybody, out of nowhere the Vulture swoops in and grabs, I don't know, like Cap's shield or something, and like grabs all their superhero stuff. It's like, you know, I'm trying to get Keaton in the Avengers. I'm trying to get him in there.
Maybe his company can go legit.
God, I could see the Vulture taking on like Iron Man easily.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a good villain for Iron Man, the Vulture?
Yeah.
I mean, he'd be essentially be the opposite of Stark. He'd be the Nega. Is that what it's called? N-E-G-A?
Nega. Bizarro.
The Bizarro Stark. He's sort of like the mirror Stark or the... What do you call it? Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Dark Stark. He's the Dark Stark.
I don't know, man. He feels to me like the People's Stark.
He is kind of like the People's Stark in a weird way. But also, it was just... I mean, so that's what I'm saying. Like, they set it up that way. But there was a scene, and you know the scene I'm talking about, dude. The one in the car. Yeah. They're going to homecoming. Oh man. There's this scene between Tom Holland and Michael Keaton. And Tom Holland, it's talk. Okay, spoilers. Okay, so during the whole. Okay, back to Peter Parker. All right, so Tom Holland. Oi, chim chim chiru. I'm Spider-Man. I am. Even though I'm super white. He's got this dope ass suit. Tony Stark's kind of like being a deadbeat dad. He's showing up, taking things away. You know, kind of being there whenever. So, you know, Peter's been interested in this girl the whole time. You know, like as he is, you know, as a young guy in high school, he's got the crush.
Right.
He's got the feels for a lady. He's crushing hard on this girl. And finally he works up the nerve to ask her to homecoming. And remember the moment when he finally asks her out? You were like, oh, wow, good for you, Peter. Like, you know, you felt like you were a kid again. Like, I'm asking this girl out to the dance. I hope she says yes. And when he does it, and you're like, so would you like to go with me to that? And you're just like, oh, my God. We're the same. oh, shit, that's really hard to do. And there he is being a kid trying to ask, like, he's doing it for the first time. It was a really special moment, you know?
Right.
And she's like, well, yeah, of course I would. And he's like, oh, okay. And he's like surprised. He was expecting to say no or I can't do it. And it was a really cool moment. You're like, wow, like you really captured what Peter, like, he's a kid. He's just a kid with superpowers. That's it. He's a 14-year-old kid. He has godlike powers. And he's trying to do the right thing. And he's just trying to be a good kid. And Tom Holland played the part fucking awesome. Like, he was great. I got to give it to him. And I think he's like in his early 20s, but he plays a teenager very convincingly. I mean, my God. He's baby-faced. I mean, like, he's 20. He's 20 years old. I think 21 now.
Right.
So he's like, you know, he looks fucking 18. He looks like a teenager.
And he's not the tallest dude.
He's not tall either, so that helps. Like, that he's a kind of shorter guy. It's a good way to cheat. But that scene in the car. First of all, so he works up the nerve. Well, the thing is, the girl he was asking out was not a white girl. She was obviously African American.
Right.
And so you wouldn't think when he goes to meet the dad that her dad would be Michael Keaton. Oh shit, what, motherfucker? That's right. The Vulture, the whole time he's been going after this girl and going after the Vulture, that they're related. That's his daughter. That's the Vulture's daughter.
What are the
Michael
odds?
Keaton's daughter and his wife is of another there we go. A New York marriage. Interracial couple marriage.
Right.
There you go. That's New York. That's just how it is, man. How it is in bigger cities. That's Queens.
That's how it is.
They're staying true to that fucking area.
Melting pot.
And Michael Keaton's got, you know, his wife is African American, and their daughter is a mixed race daughter. So then Tom Holland shows up and he's like, oh shit, there's the guy. Because he saw him on the boat.
Right.
That
he did.
Fucking boat scene. And we'll get back to that in a minute. But, you know, the boat scene where he's going through and Iron Man's like, look, I got to be dad and take your shit away. And he's like, fuck. So that was a quick recap. But anyway, back to the fucking Michael Keaton scene. So he saw him in the boat, right? He saw him there. He knew Keaton was Vulture. He knew. He found out at that moment. So he walks in and he sees him there. And, of course, Keaton doesn't know that this 14-year-old kid walking in has been the guy who's been trying to fuck with him the whole time.
Right.
So he's like, oh, hey, sport, how's it going? You know? And he's just like, oh, shit, there's the guy who's been trying to kill me.
Oh, yeah, he's like, has like a big fucking sharp knife.
And he's got a big sharp knife, and he's playing the dad role, you know, and Tom Holland's just standing there like, oh, this is weird, because you're the villain I've been going after. And
he points at him with the big sharp knife.
And he's like, hey, so what are you doing? You know, you took my daughter afterwards.
Waving the knife around.
And he's just doing regular dad shit, but to Tom Holland, it's like, that's the Vulture fucking with me.
It's like, what this the shit?
This is so, his mind is blown at that point. And
right,
so then,
but he has to play
and
cool.
Then they take a photo together and they're all smiling.
And he's all
and he's like,
awkward.
Ah. He's handing her the corsage, like, here you go. And he doesn't put it on her. He just gives it to her. Here you go.
And then
he goes, that's kind of rude. You know? And he's like, oh, okay, what time are you guys going to be back? And he's like, hey, don't worry about it. You know, and he's being a dad. You know, he doesn't realize that that's the villain.
Right.
That's the hero and he's the villain, you know, whatever. And then they're in their car.
Yes.
And then they're driving to the homecoming.
Yes.
And slowly she starts talking about their debate trip to Washington where Peter went missing when Spider-Man showed up. Oh, what are the odds?
Weird,
Peter
huh?
went missing. And Spider-Man showed up. Huh. Peter was also, and yeah, Keaton's up there, Vulture's up there asking questions, and he's looking at Holland, and Holland's like, shut the fuck up. You know, he's, you know, he wants to go over and say, look, shut the fuck up. You're gonna put me on the spot with Keaton here.
But he can't even say
But he shit, can't say he? Anything to her, so he's just like, yeah, you know, I saw it from the ground. And, he's yeah. And Keaton's just like, oh, he saw it from the ground, huh?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit, yeah, huh? He's like, oh, fuck, he's gotten me. Oh, fuck, I'm on the spot. And Keaton's looking at him like, I know it's you, motherfucker. I know it's you, Spider-Man.
Still in the car.
And the daughter's like, so anyway, we're going to do this. Remember, don't you remember you saw him? Like, and he's like, Yeah, I remember I saw him. just like, yeah, I bet you saw him. Bet you saw him really good, up and close. No, I was on the ground. I didn't see him that close. Like, just like, and he's like, hey, sweetheart, why don't you go in? Why don't you go inside and give me a minute with your date? You know, I gotta have a dad talk.
Yeah.
And he's like, she's like, okay, don't intimidate him too much, and don't let him intimidate you. And he's like, yeah, all right. And then fucking shit. And then out of nowhere, Keaton pulls out a 9mm and just leans over, and he's like, hey, look, you saved my daughter's life back there. You're a good kid, all right? So I'm gonna give you a freebie. You just walk out that door. And we're not going to have any more problems. There's not going to be any more Spider-Man coming in and interfering with my work. I'm just trying to take care of my family. But if you keep fucking with me, I'm going to fucking... He's basically saying, if you keep fucking with me, I'll fucking kill you, you dumbass. Right. So they get to that point, and you're just like, damn. All right. So Tom Holland gets out of the car, has to... And then he has to go. He's like, look, I can't do this date. I got to stop your dad from being a fucking bad guy.
Yeah, well,
I'm
he did.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, he didn't explain it like that.
He didn't explain that to her. He's like, look, I got to go do the right thing. I got to go. Yeah. Sorry. And he leaves, and
yeah, he goes out, takes a few steps out the door,
and boom, Shocker! Literally, Shocker comes out. The guy who's the Shocker, the character Shocker. So they've been developing this the alien technology,
alien weapon
into
technology.
Weapons, right?
Right.
So alien technology is being developed into weapons.
Yes.
And this one guy had this. It was like a fist thing that
this appears to amplify your force.
They kind of snuck the Shocker in, but it was like a moniker more than anything else, because whoever wore the gauntlets was like the Shocker, basically.
Right.
He would punch people and they'd get super shocked by the... But it started with one guy, and then funny moment. It was an unintentionally funny moment. And then Keaton kills the guy, and you're like, oh, shit, he killed him. Like, you thought he was going to kill him. Keaton goes, well, I thought this was the anti-gravity gun. He's like, no, that's the blaster. He's like, why didn't you have the anti-gravity gun here? Why would you put the blaster here? Shit, well, I guess we know the blaster works now. So he unintentionally killed the guy. He didn't feel too bad about it.
Yeah, he didn't really.
But he was still like, I didn't want to kill him.
Yeah.
But I kind of had to anyway. I was going to just anti-grav him and hold him like prisoner and beat the shit out of him probably.
I guess that's one way to.
But he's dead now. It was totally an accident. And fuck, he's like, and he literally said, I thought this was the anti-gravity gun. I really did. So you're like, oh, fuck, the Vulture doesn't want to kill anybody. He's just trying to fucking, people are just getting in his way.
Right.
But at the same time, he's being reckless and he's not being, so just like Spider-Man, which is why Tony Stark had to take that suit away. Why? Spider-Man had his chubby friend hack the Spidey suit and open up all the functions.
Not just that. He kept on chasing after Keaton and stuff like
that.
Well,
yeah, and he needed to open up the capabilities of the suit. But it turns out that Stark fucking made way too many capabilities into the suit. Like, the web shooters were like, every finger had a web shooter and the palm had one too. It was like, Jesus Christ, like, how many of those do you need?
Yeah, but Tony was thinking ahead. He actually put, you know, things in place so that, you know, Spider-Man can learn the basics.
Exactly.
And then, like, he can go up a level and a level and a level.
Absolutely.
So then he can master it gradually.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he programmed that in
training wheels mode. It was called training wheels mode. It's like, it's called and his friend's like, ha, it's called training wheels mode. And he's like, oh, fuck you. It's pretty much like how the kids acted like kids. The villain acted like a villain, but he was humanized, which is the best. Like, your hero is only as strong as your villain. And when you have your villain is Michael Keaton, the first, the second Batman, but my first Batman is Michael Keaton.
Right.
And to me, Michael Keaton will always be Beetlejuice and Batman, no matter what. Like, just like Adam West will always be Batman, he'll always be the Light Knight. But Keaton was the first one to go on screen and play Batman really fucked up, man. Like he was a millionaire, yeah, but he was traumatized. He was fucked. He had problems. He was a normal guy. But
right.
Like a millionaire would be, who built himself up and fucking made himself this like crazy, like fucking superhero. He was like a psychopath superhero when Keaton played him, you know? I really dug that version of Batman. Sorry, anyway.
Yeah,
but you got him as the Vulture,
be?
And it's
yeah.
like, you know, he's... And that's that speech he gives to Tom Holland at the end about, like, before Tom Holland takes him in. He's like, look, these guys aren't any yeah. different than what I'm doing, and you're saying I'm the bad guy, and you're working for them. What
right.
the? Why don't we work together? Like, we could just work together. We're on the same side anyway. And then he launches something at him, and he's like, look, I don't want to kill anyone. Like, and again, Vulture could have killed him multiple times, never did. And so at the very end, and we're not going to spoil too much, but we've already given so fucking much away. What are we missing? The combat was great. The fight scenes were amazing. The comedy was all there. The humor
right.
was awesome. The cameos were fucking dope. And the post-credits sequence was the post-credits scene was a little lame.
Hmm.
Not lame. I mean, it was great for character development, but it didn't really like give us any. I mean, there's guys that are going after Spider-Man.
Right.
We know that because, like, okay, so we're doing full spoilers. So it's full. Okay, so as you know, Marvel movies, even if they're in association with other companies now, I guess,
mm-hmm.
since it's Sony, the post-credit sequence for this one was Keaton is in jail as the Vulture. He's in jail.
Yeah, and I thought that was a really great scene.
I know, I did too, but most people thought it was lame because it didn't show us leading into the next movie. But the guy who came out, who said, hey, I don't remember what villain he ended up being, but
right.
he's like, hey, I heard that, I heard you took on Spider-Man and you kicked his ass pretty bad. He's like, yeah, I did.
Right.
He's like, yeah, I did, you know, because he did. He's like, I heard you almost killed him a few times. Yeah, I did. And he's like, I also heard that you might know who he is. And Keaton... In that moment says,
yeah,
I knew who he was, don't you think he'd already be dead by now? And then walks away. And you're like, aha.
Yeah.
He's saving that for something.
Yeah.
He's saving it as leverage. He was kind of coy about it. Did you notice his delivery?
Right.
He was protecting Peter, but
he also
had it.
Yeah.
Which gave him power.
Right.
So he's like a vulture gathering gathering what he could get and using it against him. So it was a great post-credit sequence. Fantastic movie. Goddamn, villains were great. Heroes were great. Direction was great. Donald Glover, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, honorable mention of Donald Glover. He was in this movie. Loved him. Played this sort of gangster guy, but, you know, he had info for Spider-Man. Kind of like Huggy Bear for Starsky and Hutch, in a sense, if you want to go back to the 70s. And motherfucker was, Donald Glover was awesome. He was there, and he's like, look, man, I don't want to kill anybody. I just want to fucking, you know, like, just want to scare someone, you know? Like, I'm just trying to scare someone. I don't want to kill anybody.
Right.
And he had some info, and he's like,
interrogation
mode. He's like, yeah, interrogation mode on. He's like, tell me everything I need to know. It's like a Batman voice.
Yeah, it's like a Batman
It was like the Arrow, you know.
Like digitized also.
Yeah, Arrow digitized voice thing. And he's like, yo, what's with the voice, man? He's like, what do you mean? And he's like, it's just really kind of distracting. Like, I can't understand what you're saying, and I can tell it's fake. He's like, it's not really intimidating, it's just annoying. And you're like, oh shit. So Donald Glover's like ripping on him all the time. It's awesome.
And then he's like, yeah. He basically said he sounded like a girl.
And then he's like, don't you sound like a girl? He's like, hey, no, I don't. And he's like, it turns it off. And he's like, so you're a kid? And he's like, yeah, I'm a kid, but God, look, man, I just need some info. Just help me out. And he's just like, all right, fine. Look, what do you want to know? Because he already sprayed his hand on the car.
Because right.
that's his thing. Like, if he wants to hold someone in place when they're, like, putting their hand on something, he just spider sprays him.
Yeah.
And then they're just, ah, fuck. Damn it. And it's like, apparently it's a 2-hour grace period for it to dissolve. I didn't know that. Damn. It's good information to know. But he's like, in 2 hours, it'll dissolve. And he's like, oh, no. I ain't got time for that, man. I got shit to do. And he's like, sorry, I got to go.
He's like,
dick.
He's like, I got ice cream in here.
Yeah, I got ice cream in here. Yeah, that was a dick move on Spider-Man's part. He should have been like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, let him have his ice cream.
Yeah, let the man have his ice cream. Let Donald Glover have his... Oh, that was a funny bet. I bet he improvised that. Donald Glover's fucking hilarious. Community's awesome. Go check it out. Also, Atlanta. Dope. dope ass show. Check out Atlanta. Awesomeness. And also, Donald Glover's playing Lando Calrissian in the still untitled Star Wars Han Solo anthology adventure film Good Times Star Wars Disney Yay. Episode one, the Kessel Run. I think, if they do it episodically. And Woody Harrelson's in that. He's playing Dad Solo. So Dad cool Solo. Stuff. We're looking forward to Donald Glover being Lando. That's dope as fuck. And we loved his performance. He was great comedic relief and good sort of educator. He helped Spider-Man learn to be a little bit tougher, learn right. how to intimidate a little bit more.
Yeah, street smarts.
Yeah, give him a little more street smarts, which was a good advice, you know? So good on him.
You know, and it's like, I love it. It's just yeah. like... It's, you know, it's like, it's not all good. It's not all bad. Yeah. It's just they're people and they're trying to get by in the world.
Exactly. And overall, it was just, you know, it was just a well done film. Marvel and Sony, fucking great job. I don't know who the director was, but then they ended the movie with like the Ramones, and they're like a Queens local band.
Wait, we didn't go over that much the boat scene, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, the boat scene... Yeah, the boat scene was the big thing that led to Spider-Man being like, I can't have my suit anymore. Dad took my suit away. It's because he went through the boat and he was trying... And at first, he had saved the boat. He had gone through and sprayed it.
Yeah. You know, well, after the fight with the vulture.
Well, the problem was is that the vulture came out and you know, the Stark was like... He had called the Bureau to come in and take out the bad guys. And he was trying to help out because he was trying to help. But right. Tom Holland didn't know that because, you know, Stark wasn't communicating with him. He's being a deadbeat dad.
Right.
So, parables.
So they're kind of both.
They're
in
fighting
the wrong.
Him and the vulture are fighting. And then
right.
boat gets chopped in half, obviously, with a big old fucking laser. And it was Spider-Man's fault.
Big old alien laser.
Yeah. And a concussion grenade thing. Alien concussion grenade. Whatever it was. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was an accident. And the vulture flies off, obviously. Gets away, and Spider-Man has to go through and try and, like,
right.
structurally...
Do this impossible
so
task.
So he uses the suit's technology to find the structural integrity of the shit, to, the ship and the shit, to keep it together. And but unfortunately, he missed one beam.
Yeah, one beam.
And because
beam.
That one beam he missed, it fucked everything up.
He did and a 98% great job.
Exactly, but because he didn't do it 100%, and so he was like, oh, fuck, I missed that one beam. And then, so then, you know, out of nowhere, it's like, shoot the thrill, shoot the kill, too many women, too many men. And so then, like, he flies in and saves the day. Hey, kid, what's going on? Turned off the training wheels mode, I see. Uh-oh, Dad's here, and he got in trouble. He was sending drones of himself to go talk to Spider-Man.
Right.
But he showed up this time, and he walks out, and he looks him in the eyes, and he goes, look, I'm going to need the suit back right now. Let's go. Totally, just takes it back from him. Right. Says, "That's it, you're out." He's like, and then that was the moment. He said, "If you're nothing without the suit, then you don't deserve the suit. Like, if you're nothing without the suit, then you don't deserve it."
Right.
And he's like, "Yeah, he's absolutely right." So he had to go and prove himself on his own, and he had that moment that led to that big scene. We talk about it in the video review. Go check it out.
Yeah.
And we go in depth on that moment because we were really touched by it. So go check it out on Simmer Mike. That's the YouTube channel, Simmer Mike, again, for that review. Also, check out our website, yotina.podmac.com. Let's rate this bitch. Don't go to that website. Don't go. Every time I say that, they go to ratethisbitch.com. I don't want them to. I swear to God, we're not sponsored by them.
I mean,
I
you could waste
it.
Hours on that site,
yeah,
to
like,
be honest.
Literal hours just on Rate This Bitch. Like, yeah. You know, and it's just dogs, so, literally, just female dogs. It's just hours and hours of adorable female dogs.
Right.
Back to Spider-Man. Let's rate it. Spider-Man Homecoming. God damn. Out of five? No, well, movies would be 10. So out of 10, and we do stars. So out of 10 stars... I mean, for me, this is this was the Spider-Man movie that I always wanted but never thought I'd get.
Right.
I never expected to happen.
Right.
I thought the closest we'd get was like maybe The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield, or the second one with Doc Ock, you know, Sam Raimi's second one with Doc Ock and Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man. Chubby crying Spider-Man. sorry. Oh, that's mean. What happened to Tobey Maguire? He got chubbier and cried more. Oh, that's even meaner. So I guess out of 10, oh man, this is damn near perfect for me. It's almost, it's close to a 10. I'd say as close to a 10 as you can get. Mm. I mean, I don't want to give it a 10 though. I mean, I want to, but I'm like, there's something about it that I just don't want to give it a 10.
I'm not giving it a 10.
I can't for some reason. 9.5. I can't give it a 10. I don't know what it is. For some reason, I feel like I want more from
I
this.
Do want more.
I feel like it was holding back.
Well,
I felt like they were holding back,
well,
and now
no,
I
don't
do,
feel. Well, I don't feel like they were holding back.
I don't know. To me, it felt like, I don't know. Well, there was something missing from it that it could have been a 10.
But it's
damn
9.5,
near a 10.
9.5 is damn near
that,
a 10.
Come on, man. That's like almost fucking perfect.
It's like I laughed,
you know. It's like, what would it take to be a 10, though?
No.
What would it take for us to say, fuck it, 10?
Well, for me, I would need something like, you know, that really hits on like philosophical type of things.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, but you know, like,
we never got that moment, did we? Well, yeah. We had that moment where he was like, you know, I got to do it myself.
Right.
Come on, man. Come on, Peter. Come on, Spider-Man. Come on. He's like telling himself that, you know, motivating himself. That is a good philosophical thing that, you know, there's a lot of kids who are going to watch this who are going to see that and they're going to realize I got to fucking depend on myself, man. Like Spider-Man. That's a good message. I like that.
But
Stanley's cameo. That's the last thing we got to leave. Stanley's cameo. That, you know what? 10. 10 for that. Ding, ding.
You're going 10?
Best Stanley cameo ever. Come on.
No,
he was hilarious, dude.
It's even better than Guardians.
That scene where Spider-Man, like web shoots the guy to his own car.
Stanley
comes out. He goes, hey, that's that guy's car. He owns that car.
Stanley is a New York guy, right? He's a New York guy. He's an old New York guy. He's poking his head out the window.
Hey, that's his car. What are you doing?
Spider-Man.
Why are you web shooting him?
Spider-Man.
Hey, you idiot. You punk kid. He calls him a punk kid. He calls his own character a punk kid. It was awesome. Best Stanley cameo.
Yes.
And then and then this girl's like, oh, hi, Steve. And he's like, oh, hey, Marjorie. And you're like, oh, God, they're fucking. It's like Stanley, old man Stanley, is still getting laid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like that guy. Do a flip, Spider-Man. Yeah. Fuck that old bitch. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, God. That's horrible. So for me, it's a 10. Just for that, it's a 10. I changed my... I changed it. It's changed officially. Spider-Man Homecoming is a 10.
Okay. 9.5 for me.
All right. You're sticking with 9.5.
It's like
damn, you're perfect.
It didn't... I mean, it didn't have that moment that, like, philosophical moment that, like, haunted me after, you know. It's not like, you know, oh, I'm the hero Gotham deserves.
But my rebuttal to that, if I may, would be he is Spider-Man, not Batman.
Yeah, I know.
He is a 14-year-old kid.
Oh, no.
Like,
I mean, it doesn't have to be.
He's not a grown-ass man.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
Again, it's your opinion, and I'm just saying, like, that's my rebuttal. But again, you're totally valid in that. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I can't think back on any sort of deep philosophical thing. Like, maybe Michael Keaton's whole thing about Stark and with the difference between a hero and a villain. Like, maybe that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something that kind of stuck with me a bit.
But
it didn't haunt
that
me. I wasn't haunted by it.
Right,
I was actually
right.
Like, that's a good point. But what haunted me was that he was a villain.
Right.
They considered him a villain, even though he was doing the same thing the heroes were doing. There might be a philosophical moment there.
Right.
But, again, it wasn't like...
But it was...
It didn't cut you deep. It didn't
right,
cut you deep.
Right, it didn't cut me deep.
But you can't go too deep. But anyway, like, we got to end it there, guys.
But, yeah.
It's
almost
9.5 from Armando, a 10 from me.
Almost everything I could have possibly wanted.
He's too picky. A 10 from me, simply for old man Stan Lee banging Marjorie. Good on you, old man Stanley. You still got it. So that's going to do it for this late-ass review for Spider-Man Homecoming. Thanks for joining us on this journey, you guys. We'll be back with some more late-ass reviews. We got to play catch-up, man. There's some other shit we got to see coming up, and I think you know what that shit is.
I do.
Yeah, we both do. Right? Okay, yeah, we do. Anyway, so we'll get that's going to do it. We already mentioned the social media earlier, so just...
Do the thing.
Do the thing. Pull the lever.
In the box.
Add Simmer Mike. yotina.pymac.com. And our YouTube channel is Simmer Mike, all caps, no space. And go watch all of our stuff. Yay. Spider-Man. Yeah. Do it. Do a flip, Spider-Man. Come on. Do it.
Okay.
Do a flip, Spider-Man.
Okay.
Come on. Yeah. All right. Now go fucking punch that guy. Go punch that guy, Spider-Man.
But,
go fucking punch him in the face.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fucking... Look at him. His head's on the ground.
Wait,
yeah.
I think he has a concussion.
All right, now go. Now go steal that old lady's purse.
Oh, but why?
Go steal that old bitch's Bruce!
Look, I just wanted to entertain you. I don't want to.
This has been Team Awesome. Team Awesome Inc.
Wink, wink.
Shut up.
Yeah.